I don't think I can match that. But before I start, I'd like to thank Jimmy and Joan particularly for this really, really good series. And I appreciate it very much. Okay, my first poem is called Rush Hour. And if you're from New York, you'll recognize it right away. I gazed down from my office to the ground and the muggy dusk. I rushed to the subway, graffiti-pasted billboards on the way to my train. Lightning speed into the station, it screeched with a halt, slapping back its doors, then clamping them shut like blades of a guillotine that would just as soon leave half a body behind. Our cracker box compressed our limbs and minds to standing statues, buffeted back and forth. Strangers became intimate friends, silent soulmates. Imprisoned, we swept away, launched like a missile through a tube, a string of torpedoes poised to whoosh to the depths of a bedrock sea. We found our speed, our stride, charging through the catacombs of Broadway to the howl of the trumpet from our masthead. Headlights pierced the dark, devouring the tracks ahead. Spinning wheels clanked against the rails in frenzied haste. We arrived. Then through the turnstile and up to an evening that hurried me down the street to my hollow crypt, my garish paintings on each wall, the scintillated screen to shield me from the scourge of loneliness. Only once has a calloused hand stroked back the hair from my forehead. Only once wiped the salt from beneath my eyes. The next one is called Loft. It's a short poem. We found the loft abandoned. My excitement rose to love with someone I could trust. As we spoke, she opened her sack. She offered me a wig. As we chatted, she offered me a silk dress. We quipped as she painted my lips and tinted my cheeks and primped my hair. I fell into her stockings and shoes, and she gasped to see me rise and strut and gaze into her mirror and curtsy and smile and bend to kiss her forehead. I captured her from the corner of my eye just as she opened her arms to engulf the evening, just as she gathered herself with the passion of seeing me happy again. Now, the next poem is autobiographical, and the name of it is My Mother Was Dying. Here I come down the street, familiar flats and alleys, dank and cold on the last day of the year, with the weight of my sack on my shoulders, crisp plaques of snow underfoot. I reached the doorstep, gaslights on the century stone facade, flames still bright in the biting noon. Hello to my father. We watched her sleep, calmly breathing now and not, thrashing to a rapid gasp, rising straight and mindful, lucidly clutching the day. Her evening voice inflicted vitriol. I felt for the first time I discovered in her stare a deep-set frost, churning in the rectitude of her head, rigid with the urgency of her taut limbs. I was pierced by the fear that I'd not known my mother before. She sank back from her throb of invectives to drowse, meager pleas, reeling in her seat at the evening meal. At dawn, with the waning of drugs, came the remorse for her mood the night before, came streaks of pain from her swollen arm with silk-silent pauses, then starts of moans and grimaces. With a lilt and a nod, she chanted, "Too soon, my truth, too soon." Each truth spilling word syrup from her parched lips, admitting, denying, unlocking her humor, juggling her craze, her sights and sounds, climbing into childhood, she rocked through her whisper, an endless back and forth, "My truth, too soon, until the end sweeps my kite off the end of my line." My father stood possessed with the civility required to share in her struggle. While to me, in my maze, truth often rises as a bastard child of irrevocable events, for me to fathom only afterwards what has come before. And so it came to chew her last stale bread, take her last tea, pack my bag, and out that house with the dire stone face, past the gaslights and into the gray stone snow, to wander the streets in thousands of miles of drafts of drink, to fly my kite from a frigid beach and watch it leap, rock, fall free beyond the trenches in the ocean. Okay, let's see what I'm gonna do. You know, you put this in some order and then it falls out of order very quickly. Okay, this one is called Worry Beads. Now, in the islands off of Greece, we were there and we'd see these men, particularly old men, sitting there with their worry beads. And they don't sort of do this all day. So this is called Worry Beads. It doesn't relate to old people. Worry Beads. He failed. He burrowed inside the steel shell that masked the ponderous force of his bones. Tough muscles ran the length of his bones. And he worried, his rusting hands in his pockets, with his strand of beads chinking one on the other, as he wandered, wantonly trundled through one to another of his blunted days. And he burrowed deep down through the crust of his dreams to the shaft of his steel with the force of his bones, and he tried, but he failed. And he tried, but he failed, with his mind that wept into rusting pockets and his strand of chinking beads. How much time? Yeah, one more. Okay, let's see if I can make this one quick and short. Okay. This one is called King of Distant Whims. And it's about a man with Alzheimer's disease and his wife. "I hold your hands in mine. You wince and stretch back, bewildered into childhood. In that instant, from the middle of my eye, I see you so quickly growing more alone. You pole Venetian gondolas logged by the water that creeps through your mortar, your lath, the trenchant paths inside your bones. Do you remember my name? The one who loves you soars above the rotunda, fending off foreign charms and spells that drop through your brittle shell to prey upon your mind. And now, in a moment, from the middle of yourself, you can no longer speak. I hold your face near mine, but you leap aghast. Your phantoms urge you to thrash, to make of me the beast that haunts you as the sun sets behind the silhouette of the last chimney, revealing your walkabouts down the stairs and into the night. For you are the king of distant whims. While you dream your fusion flights, the cherry box within me sings its secrets from the sweetness of our forgotten lives.